Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, July 27th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Overlooking the wonderful, beautiful Assawoman Bay on Maryland's eastern shore, Melody, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. It's a beautiful day out there, and we had a beautiful day in gold. And, I mean, well, let's just get to the gold before we get into the hot spots of it. Gold today was up $35.70, almost 2% at $1,938. And, of course, silver. Silver was the supreme leader of the day. Again, it was up another 8%. Last week, we saw the same kind of a day. $1.74 at $24.55, $24.55. Platinum was up $33 at $952, and palladium was up $73, $2,383. So we all know that there's weakness in the dollar today. 0.63. Now, they're going to stop it somewhere along the line here. I mean, it's 93.72. You know they have a spot where they're going to try and stop it and try to keep things steady. We just don't know where it's at. But I wouldn't consider this in free fall yet. But 63.63 is a pretty big number. So, and I think if we get close to 90... then we might go into free fall territory. But so we're quickly approaching that level at 93.72 today. So, I mean, if you're trying to figure it out, or which, you know, what they're trying to accomplish and so forth, well, that'll be impossible. What they're trying to accomplish is to keep the system going as long as possible and to make as much money as they can for their cronies. But crude oil was up 31 cents today at 41.60. And the paper markets today, 105 at 26,575. The NASDAQ was up 174, 10,537. The S&P, 24 points to the upside at 3,239. I ought to go back and look to see when the, actually when the stock market started increasing, that's when we saw weakness on the dollar. So I guess they'll do anything and everything to keep the stock market higher. Now, what's the correlation there? Well, I'd have to think about it, but it is certainly an interesting timing. And so we had a new record high on gold today, and I guess we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But yeah, a great day for gold. And don't worry, folks, we'll be seeing $100 moves in gold in a day. No doubt about that. 10-year yield, what's that doing today? 10-year yield, why am I not seeing? Oh, that's 0.61. So that's still trending around that 6, anywhere from 0.6 to 0.65. That's been like
that
for a couple.
Yeah, that was down earlier. Yeah,
that was down. How low did it go today, do you know?
587, I believe. 586.
So that did come back a little bit. And, you know, Dave, I continue to see all these places. I mean, they're talking about huge numbers of restaurants that have just been shuttered and are not coming back. And like the normal person on the street, if you talk to them, they just don't have a clue as to what's really going on in this economy. And it really is amazing. You know, the benefits run out at the end of this month, and you know they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that stimulus continues, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But, you know, again, we saw gold break through its all-time high. The reasons they're giving is the pandemic, the U.S.-China tensions. If that's what it takes, it doesn't take the $30 trillion+ we're in debt. It doesn't take all the everything that we've went through here in what that it finally makes gold go up. so indifferent to what has pushed gold before, but hey, we'll take it. So we saw gold trade as high as 1943 an ounce this morning. And of course, the previous record was 1921. And gold literally blasted through its previous record a little after 10 p.m. last night in the New York spot aftermarket. Meanwhile, the U.S. dollar index continued its four-month slide, heading straight for 93 after the currency markets opened today, as I had just mentioned. Primary drivers of the gold price are its negative correlation, and this is coming from Mark Haffel, correlation to real interest rates and the dollar. He added, we think these factors will drive gold prices higher. So what do you think about that, Dave?
Well, you know, Melody, what a great day for gold and silver. We see that the Commonwealth Bank of Austria's Vivek Dar said the fall of the U.S. 10-year real yields has been the most important driver, among other factors, such as a weakened U.S. dollar, which we've talked about regularly, and just safe haven demand in general being lifted. As Melody mentioned, the yield on the benchmark 10-year yield was as low as 5.585 after this morning's opening bell, closing at just a little bit higher at 0.61. Dar added that the fall in the 10-year yield, real yields, is primarily being driven by an increase in 10-year inflation expectations, although that specific amount wasn't elaborated on. Johann Joost of the Global CIO office said that the opportunity cost of holding gold is virtually zero, with treasury yields at historic low levels. Of course, the latest moves in gold and silver come as tensions have been heating up between Washington and Beijing, with both of the countries out the other from one of its main consulate locations, China from Houston and the U.S. from Chengdu. Right before that, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo slammed China in a speech late last week, saying that Washington will no longer tolerate Beijing's attempts to usurp global order. Now, the Chinese foreign ministry essentially said the same thing about us. And meanwhile, today we're also reading reports that Russia has escorted a U.S. surveillance plane that was flying over the Black Sea, apparently close to the Russian border, away from Russian airspace. So that's always a little unsettling. It makes you wonder how often each other's planes happen to breach the other's airspace. Something that we probably will never know. So there you have it, Melody.
Well, you know, Iran moves mock aircraft carrier to sea amid all these U.S. tensions. So let's put that in there. You have fighting on the Lebanon border as tensions rise between Israel and Hezbollah. Let's put that in there, too. And I can't even believe. And yeah, I get this fighting has been going on for a long time. But heck, we have our own war zone here in the United States. And so eventually, I believe one of them gets, you know, it just goes one step further. I mean, you just can't be testing each other and have nothing come about it. Or is it just all theatrics? You know, so who knows? But there's a lot of tensions everywhere, that's for sure. You know, we talked about another stimulus. Well, the Republicans introduced their plan today. It's worth about $1 trillion. And they finalized, supposedly, well, it's the latest pandemic relief plan. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said he hopes Congress can work in a bipartisan manner to approve the GOP proposal. The bill contains another round of a $1,200 stimulus checks for Americans and liability protections for businesses and schools that reopen. It will also modify the federal unemployment insurance supplement to include about 70% wage replacement for individuals instead of the 600 boost in weekly benefits for all recipients. Like, how are they going to figure that one out?
Well, that's a point made by the loyal opposition. They're saying, reports are saying it equates to about $200 a week on average, but with antiquated state unemployment systems computers already having had such a hard time with a flat $600 rate that was part of the CARES Act proven late March, it does beg the question, how in God's name are they going to be able to survive this reprogramming of at least 50 state computer systems?
Yeah, but the problem is, I guess to get this additional benefit, I mean, they just can't keep paying it forever. So when does it stop? When you have, it was an incredible number, like 50% of restaurants are going to shutter and not reopen. I don't know if that was the number, but a huge number. So do those people get the additional benefits?
Well, I don't know what, if there's going to be any. I mean, that would mean there'd have to be some retroactivity to this. Now those, I don't know the detail of that particular question, but one, I think I hate to say let's assume this or that. I guess we're going to have to wait and see and hope that those folks aren't going to be left out in the cold. Although if they're unemployed prior to July 25th, which I believe was the cutoff date for the pandemic unemployment benefits, the last payment of which is going to happen this week, then hopefully they'll be covered. But I suspect the new law, the new stimulus act, will have to specify that this affects people who were unemployed as of X date moving forward. So
my question is, how long do you keep paying the extra money for? I mean, we go through life and sometimes people get unemployed.
Under the old act, I mean, most state systems end benefits after 26 weeks, after 6 months. Some are less than that. Some are 13 weeks. Now, the CARES Act, in addition to the $600 extra benefit a week, also extended the payment of state unemployment benefits for an extra 13 weeks. So if your state allows 26 weeks, it would allow 39 weeks. Now for this new one, for stimulus 4.0, we don't know. That hasn't been released yet. I mean, we know that the HEROES Act that was passed by the House in May would extend a $600 benefit through January. Now Senate Democrats have proposed that the new one start at 600, but then be reduced over time, tied to each state's unemployment rate. So as unemployment, I don't know how you're going to do that either, but maybe they'll take an average, say, the federal government says it's 11.1% now. Well, it's $600 now. If it goes to 10.1%, it'll go down to 500. And once it gets to 5% or whatever, then it'll go away. But if they're gonna tie it to that, I mean, it very well
is likely to mean that unemployment, these pandemic unemployment benefits, are going to go on for a long time. Because I mean, we know that mainstream economists, although they disagree a lot, see a weak labor market till 2022 and maybe longer.
I think one of the most irritating things Mnuchin said about it was, it wouldn't be fair to use taxpayer dollars to pay more people to sit home than they would get working and get a job.
Oh, what a creep.
You know, well, I mean, no. I mean, it isn't. It wouldn't be fair to taxpayers. What do you think they've been doing to us taxpayers for how many years, but this one particular one? I mean, I don't agree with it. I mean, I don't think, you know, maybe to enhance the, you know, benefits. To me, I think it's a state responsibility. You know, it shouldn't be coming from the federal government. But we all know the states are broke, and they can't do anything barely within their own state to manage properly their budgets and, you know, to keep corruption out. I mean, they have just as many lobbyists and everything as the federal government does. So, yeah, no, I don't agree with paying people $600 a week because they're unemployed. But on the other hand...
Reasonable people can agree or disagree with that. I take no issue with your position. But what I find is extremely rich with Mnuchin being the messenger for that statement is, here's a guy who raked in profits during the subprime mortgage fiasco back in the 2008 crisis that brought us to our knees. And now, you know, when 2017, when he left the private sector to take the job as Secretary of the Treasury, he got $11 million in severance pay from the Citigroup. So come on, Steve.
That's what was irritating me, and he's concerned about the taxpayer.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And it's just, he should be
spanked, Melody. He should be spanked.
He should be.
Bad boy.
Oh, it's just like, you know. Anyway. So is there anything else in there that we need to, I guess President Trump didn't get his, what was it, the payroll tax?
Yeah, the payroll tax holiday.
Yeah. But we're going to get a holiday for a couple of minutes because we're going on break, and we'll stay, please stay tuned. We'll be right back. We will find you acting on your best
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Silver update. All right. Well, it was funny because this morning I said we shouldn't sell any more Silver Eagles. We better wait and see what happens. And then all of a sudden, we got a boatload of Silver Eagles to sell, so we're going to sell them. So give us a call. You can get some really good prices on some backdated Silver Eagles. And I think there's even some that might be 2020s. There might be a few of those, but we have some coming in, so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And pretty much the Silver Eagles and the Silver Maple Leafs are kind of on hold because we don't know what the delivery dates are. Silver Rounds were deliverable in October. That's no good. We're not going to do that, and unless I can find some more. But you can still buy boxes of kangaroos, silver kangaroos, and there's nothing wrong with them. You know, I don't want to go through what we went through in March, where every call I got was, oh, I only want a silver eagle. I only want a silver eagle. That's the only thing I want, a silver eagle or a gold eagle. No, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the only thing you want. Because in the meantime, you're holding on to those fiat dollars, or you're going to get somebody who tells you, oh, well, you'll have them in a couple of weeks, and then in a couple of weeks comes by, and then all of a sudden, well, they're not going to be here for 3 months. That's what you're going to get. I had a gentleman today. He bought 10-ounce gold bars for a higher price than a gold eagle.
Why?
He was rushed. He wanted to get in. He wanted to buy now instead of just waiting. And again, you just can't let the emotion take over. And the key things, you have to look at what you have to base on what you need to purchase, but the whole idea is converting those fiat dollars into real money. Everything that we talk about are all the fundamentals that will propel the price of gold and silver. And it does depend on the suitability of what you should buy. But if there aren't any silver eagles available, if there aren't any silver maple leaves, there's nothing wrong with a kangaroo. You're buying it for the silver content anyway. I had a guy that one time, even 90% now is getting hard to get, and that premium has jumped. I had a guy, I mean, this goes back 15 years ago. I know in his portfolio he probably has 50 bags of 90% silver. I mean, he has tons. And I says, well, how much gold do you have? Well, I buy the 90% in case I need to use it to buy bread or something. How much bread do you eat? So, again, you just have to, you know, balance your portfolio, convert those fiat dollars into real money, and don't panic. This isn't the time to panic. It's the time to act. But it's not the time to panic. If it takes panic for you to act, well, that's when mistakes are made. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, we're talking about the aid, Dave. And we've got this article is out from BBC. And, you know, they're talking about there's millions hanging by a thread as the coronavirus aid expires. People are in pretty dire situations. And, you know, I don't know how much this stimulus is going to be. Democrats wanted $3 trillion. Republicans want $1 trillion. I figured it'll end up somewhere really in between. You still got, what, 20, 30 million people unemployed? It's staggering. Dave, sometimes I just can't think about the impact that all of this will have. Another headline today, we have 11 million evictions. 11, what do you think this is going to do to these markets? 11 million evictions coming over the next 4 months. Well, I also saw, Dave, in this stimulus bill that they were going to throw in the eviction. They were going to extend that too. So people can't be evicted from their apartments. I don't know if that covers homes and so forth. Rentals. I guess it would include rentals. All rentals. What's that going to do to the person who owns that property? He's not getting... Why would you make a payment on your house if you know you couldn't be kicked out? And then what's going to happen? That moratorium on evictions will run out, expire, and then all of a sudden these people have to come up with all this money. So are we going to bail them out now too? I don't know how this works out, Dave, but it's a disaster. We are heading into an economic disaster. Even if we hired back 20 million people, it won't work. Anyway, here's Schlumberger. They're cutting 21,000 jobs. Schlumberger, and I'm, anyway, it's cutting more than 21,000 jobs as the global virus squashes demand for energy and oil prices. The company will pay more than $1 billion in severance benefits. These job cuts were announced on Friday, represent about a quarter of the entire workforce, and it puts the number of people employed by the world's largest oil field services company close to where it was at the start of the oil and gas fracking boom that upended the global energy markets and put the U.S. on top. We all know about Chesapeake Energy. They sought bankruptcy protection last month. We saw crude oil prices drop 33% this year. Natural gas has fallen 17%. Almost all major users of energy have been crippled because of the lockdown. On Thursday, American Airlines posted a loss of more than $2 billion. Southwest Airlines said it lost $915. So that pushed the combined second quarter loss of the nation's four biggest airlines to more than $10 billion. The number of people being screened at U.S. airports is still down more than 70%. So you think it's going to be better by the third and fourth quarter?
Yeah, millions of people are working from home. They're not commuting to work every day. The cruise industry is shut down. And factories, which are big consumers of energy, have literally been hammered. But slowing global economic growth had already begun to weigh in the energy sector. And companies, especially those carrying a lot of debt, have begun to fail. More than 200 oil producers have filed for bankruptcy protection in the last 5 years. The global pandemic has only intensified that shakeout. Last month, British oil giant BP said it would reduce its global workforce by 10,000 people. On Friday, Schlumberger said that its second quarter revenue plunged 35%, the company losing $3.4 billion. It expects the vast majority of the severance hit departing employees will take place during the second half of this year.
Well, you know, and again, you know, we talk about what's happening here, but the ECB, they say the global imports, that's going to fall by 13% in 2020. This is their estimate of just how bad the fallout might be. According to ECB economists Simone Signa and Lucia Guaglietti.
Whew.
I know. Guaglietti. The contraction in world commerce tied to the pandemic could be magnified by 25% just because of such logistical breakdowns. It has struck value chains. The virus has struck value chains in Asia, Europe, and the Americas, raising the risk of a domino effect with feedback loops that could amplify the collapse in global trade. It warned that disruption may leave a longer-term legacy for global supply chains, leading to a review of production processes and substantial reshoring. Bringing parts of production processes back home to reduce dependence on suppliers, it's been a hot topic. Everybody thinks that's going to happen. But separate reports have already suggested it might actually hurt activity further. According to the ECB researchers, a hit to demand is likely to affect economies higher up in the value chain, like the UK, more negatively than those like, I don't know, down in Mexico.
Yeah, well, that's because Mexico's production is particularly dependent on imported inputs, which are then re-exported as finished products. In contrast, countries positioned more upstream, like the UK, are likely to experience a negative impact on activity as exports decline more than imports. According to the report, traditional models assume that a country's imports depend on its domestic demand. However, in a world characterized by these international supply chains, changes in demand in third countries are also an important factor. For now, the ECB economists see some bright spots. As the pickup in global value chain activity could also increase trade. The institution's most recent forecast projects that global imports, excluding the euro area, will decline at an unprecedented pace of around 13% this year before returning to positive rates of growth of 8% next year and over 4%. In 2022. Well, good luck with that, ECB.
Yeah, good luck. But we have noticed a break in the supply chain.
Yes.
And bringing factories back, it would be fabulous. But there's a big but there, ladies and gentlemen. It's not going to happen in a meaningful way. Not in order to pick up, and how long would it take? I mean, you just don't bring factories back and open up the door like it's all you have to do is being an attorney and hanging your shingle out on the door. So, I don't know. And as technology continues to make advancements towards robotics, so the jobs that people are losing are being replaced by robots. So that is going to be part of the issue when this virus gets over and people aren't going back to work and we still have a high unemployment. That's the next thing they're going to have to address. It's technology. Oh, well, you can just go train people and, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's not that simple. Wish it was, but we've had orders for non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft, you know, it's a pretty closely watched proxy for business spending. That did jump last month, 3.3%. But the gains were likely insufficient to avert the deepest plunge in business investment and activity, economic activity, since the Great Depression in the second quarter. The improvement in manufacturing reported by the Commerce Department this morning, I mean, it was driven by pent-up demand following the reopening of businesses and everything that they had to do in order to reopen. Again, they just didn't have to open their door. They had to buy all kinds of things to make their business compatible by the regulations that the governors put out for business to reopen, Dave.
Yeah, well, for all the number aficionados out there, core capital goods orders remained 3.2% below their pre-pandemic level. Orders last month were boosted by demand for machinery, fabricated metals, and primary metals. On the other hand, and orders for electrical equipment, supplies, and components, they increased 1.2%. Likely driven, they say, by workers who were setting up home offices. Core capital goods orders fell 2.3% on a year-to-year basis in June. Shipments of core capital goods surged 3.4% last month. That was the biggest gain since November of 2013. Core capital goods shipments are used to calculate equipment spending in the government's GDP measurement. They rose 1.6% in May and remained 3% below their February level. Melody.
Well, you know, it's, let's see, Americans with Disabilities Act, they celebrate 30 years. It was March 1990, and a bill that could potentially end discrimination against people with disabilities was winding its way through Congress. And many disability activists feared that if they didn't do something drastic, the legislation could get squashed, especially since it was opposed by pro-business groups. And so in the middle of the day, in rallies and speeches calling for accessibility and equal rights, hundreds of disabled people left behind their wheelchairs, canes, crutches, and other mobility aids and began to crawl up the steps of the U.S. Capitol demanding that lawmakers pass the Americans with Disabilities Act. The day became known as the Capitol Crawl, and it's a symbolic demonstration of the barriers that people with disabilities had faced for decades and one of the most well-known events in modern disability history. And so that was President George H.W. Bush signed that into law on July 1990. We're heading into a break right now. We don't have to wait 30 years. We just have to wait about 2 seconds, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Let's go ahead and skip around a little bit. Catherine's. Yes, Catherine's. They're going to permanently close all 320 of its stores. And Dave, it seems like the retail apocalypse continues. And if people aren't familiar with Catherine's, it's a plus-size retailer. They're going to permanently shutter all of its 320 bricks and mortar stores. But they do plan to continue as an online store. The upcoming closures were announced as parent company Ascena Retail Group filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last week. The New Jersey-based company said it has reached an agreement to sell Catherine's intellectual property and transition its e-commerce business to City Chick Collective Limited. And, you know, it's interesting because they're still going to sell online. So 320 stores equals how many people, thousands of people that lost jobs just so they can sell online.
Even a minimum of 10 per store, Melody, that's 3,200 employees.
Yeah. Times three, because you have the multiplier effect. So
Indeed. Catherine's in a letter to its customers said, "It's with a very heavy heart that we must let you know that we'll be closing all of our stores. The pandemic's had a tremendous financial impact on our businesses, and it saddens us to make this difficult decision." It said that gift cards and store credit cards will continue to be accepted online. And according to court records, SB 360 Capital Partners will manage Catherine's going out of business liquidation sales, as well as closing sales at its sister brands. Now, some of those brands are Lane Bryant, Justice Ann Taylor Loft, Lou Gray, and I don't know how to pronounce the other ones. So I won't mention it. Many as 25,000 stores could shutter this year as business continue to feel the impacts of where we are. That's according to CoreSight Research, Melody.
And there's even been reports of 100,000 stores.
Yes.
That could shutter. So it's somewhere in between, probably. Now, this kind of gets my goat a little bit. And I saw the government, I don't know if this information has Moderna in there, but they got another, $500 million from the federal government for a vaccine. You know, and we all know the connection to the White House with Moderna. And, you know, it's all this inside trading. Just bring back the manufacturing of our pharmaceuticals to this country instead of China. If you want any factory to come back, any manufacturer, let them make our medications here. That's probably one that frustrates me the most, is having the majority of our medications coming from China. It's good grief. Are we insane? This country is insane. On June 26, a small South San Francisco company called Vaxart made a surprise announcement. A coronavirus vaccine it was working on had been selected by the U.S. government to be part of Operation Warp Speed, the flagship federal initiative to quickly develop drugs to combat COVID-19. guess their shares did soar. Company insiders who weeks earlier had received stock options worth a few million dollars saw the value of those awards increase sixfold. And a hedge fund that partly controlled the company walked away with more than $200 million in instant profits. Be kind of nice to see which hedge fund and the connection and the connecting of the dots. See where it all comes from D.C. We all know that this race is on for a vaccine. We all know the majority of it is all about bucks. And they're just making this race, and each one of these companies is making their millions and billions of dollars so that they can sell to a desperate public. Dave.
Melody, all across the pharmaceutical medical industries, senior execs, board members are capitalizing on that very dynamic. They're making millions of dollars after announcing positive developments, including support from the government, in their efforts to fight the pandemic. After these announcements, insiders from at least 11 companies have sold shares worth well over $1 billion since March. In some cases, company insiders are profiting from regularly scheduled compensation or automatic stock trades. But in others, senior officials appear to be pouncing on opportunities to cash out while their stock prices are sky high. And some companies have awarded stock options to executives shortly before these market-moving announcements about their vaccine progress. Well-timed transactions are generally legal, but investors and corporate governance experts say they can create the appearance that executives are profiting from inside information. Do you think? Plus, this will even get you better, ladies and gentlemen. Plus, they could erode public confidence in the pharmaceutical industry when the world is looking to these companies in particular to cure the virus that ails us. Oh, my goodness, goodness gracious. When does the madness stop?
It does. I don't know. But you know what? It's just, and everybody just goes along with it. There isn't a, you know, all you hear about is you got Pelosi, you got President Trump signing something to bring us lower healthcare, lower pharmaceuticals. And I mean, it's all about money. And this is all about money.
And people have given up, Melody.
Huh?
People have given up. I mean, I think they just throw their hands up. It's at least when it comes to politics.
I guess.
Like the deck is so stacked against us, we little people. Even though, if you think of it in terms of numbers, we certainly outnumber them. But they got the money, and they got the decision makers.
But that's why they needed to divide us as much as they have and as deeply as they have.
There,
because we can't get organized. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it is frustrating. So well, I guess from the Dallas Fed's Texas Manufacturing Outlook survey and for July came in at -3. But it's still up 3.1 points. An excerpt from the latest report says a Texas factory activity continued to expand in July following a record contraction in the spring. The production index, a key measure of state manufacturing conditions, had inched up from 13.6 to 16.1, suggesting a slight pickup in the pace of output growth. And that might see we had a turnaround in oil. That might have made a little bit of a difference, Dave. But the new orders index advanced 4 points to 6.9. The growth rate of orders index turned positive in July, coming at 1.3. So I'm not sure how this all fits into the broader economic picture.
Well, it does in the context of Texas being important to the nation's manufacturing output. The state produced $159 billion in manufactured goods, roughly 9.5% of the country's manufacturing output. Texas ranks second to only California in factory production and first as an exporter of manufactured goods. So that is how Texas and the Texas Fed report fits into the bigger scheme, as it were.
Well, here's one business I guess is going to be a good story until gasoline prices rise. Then not so much, but we'll take it for when we can. RVs. You know, people don't want to travel. They can't fly, barely. You know, where else can you go and be away from people? But, you know, so people are a little wary of hotels, airplanes, restaurants. So you have more Americans are taking their homes with them. Yep. They're reviving a recreational vehicle business. I mean, this business was devastated by shutdowns earlier this year. Wholesale shipments of RVs posted their highest monthly total in June since October of 2018. Now, this was all according to the RV Industry Association. So it's making a very sharp reversal after months of a deeply depressed business. Now, the group tallied 40,000 units shipped last month. That's a 10.8% increase over a year ago. By contrast, now get this number, shipments in April were down more than 82% from a year ago and down nearly 30% in May. So that is a nice turnaround, but, you know, it's too to be expected. Craig Kirby, the group's president, said, hey, we didn't anticipate this turn being as strong as it had been, so now they probably can't keep up. People don't want to fly. They don't want to stay in a hotel, in an RV. You can cook your own meals and sleep in your own bed. Hmm. And RVs are pretty cool. Right,
yeah,
Todd?
Yeah, I bet they are. Our engineer, our producer. It's interesting. I one of the social media groups, I spend more time than most is my high school class. And about 5 years ago, two close friends, a husband and wife team, had bought what they call a fifth wheel. It's a pretty large RV to go explore the country. And now after 5 years, they're kind of putting it to rest. They've taken up stakes in someplace in Arizona. But as they're putting theirs to rest, all of a sudden, four or five other classmates, and this is just one, you know, one small high school class, in South Central Pennsylvania. Imagine multiply that by however many tens of thousands of communities. I can see where there's they've bought their own RVs to take to the highway. So it's interesting. And you know, there's a guy, Craig Kirby, who's president of the RV Association, says they expect more people to start using RVs as mobile offices. So that's taking that concept a step farther, Melody. Not only are you working from home, you're working from home on the road.
Not a bad idea. Hey, we have a caller. We have Ivan calling us from Pennsylvania. We only have a few minutes left, Ivan. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, how are you doing, Melody and Dave? How are you doing? Yeah, I have one quick question. I see silver is really starting to move up. What is the cause of it, Melody, if you or Dave, whoever wants to?
I believe number one, it was really suppressed, and a lot of it is paper trading, but the fundamentals. There's been a lot of discussion on mainstream media about gold and silver. And once you get these big investors getting involved in the paper trade, they can move prices quickly. And we're just, Actually, the aftermarket in New York spot price aftermarket, gold is up $41 at $1,943. Silver is still at $190 at $2,470. So, but I think all the fundamentals are coming together. I think it's more than just the paper trading, but it could have been the paper trading that got it started. But I think all the fundamentals are there for it to do. We still haven't, we don't have any panic in the markets yet. That's usually what truly pushes the numbers far and above the normal move, so to speak. So we haven't seen that yet. So we got a long way to go.
Well, I was wondering if it was, you know, the start of the degeneration of the dollar or the devaluation.
Well, that's just, you know, that's one of the fundamentals, is a falling dollar.
Okay.
So,
all right,
you know, that
well,
is, that, that's one of the fundamentals. So it's, you know, it's, it was always said it's not the prices going up, it's the dollar going down.
Down, right. So you, do you see a future growth of, I mean, going up further, gold and silver?
I can't see any other direction.
Okay, good enough. All right, that's all I wanted to ask. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Ivan. Thank you. Thank you for taking us to the end of the program. We appreciate that. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.